In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh, my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news. And politics. Tino has strong opinions today. Strong opinions on the federal mask mandate and Tucker Carlson's balls. I hear you, Tino.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. He heard about Tucker Carlson's ball tanning and went off.
I'm with you. I am with you. We also just did an amazing interview that you're going to hear tomorrow with Stephen Post, who works for a group called Last Prisoner Project. And they are all about freeing everybody, all the nonviolent people that are still in prison for cannabis convictions. You'll hear that tomorrow. But Millie and I were chatting beforehand. I posted a little bit about this, but not to be too New York centric again, but a 420 related headline is that in New York City, 30,000 building workers very well might go on strike tomorrow. I feel like people are not talking about this enough.
Yes, yes. This is definitely one of those things where it's like, so it's porters, it's people, it's like supers, it's their union. And it's like the union of doormen, porters, superintendents, all of that versus the luxury built, like I guess just rental property union or association. And it's so crazy because we've talked about how rent has hit a record high. I'm sure you've been, you've talked about it on your thing.
Last week, my rent went up $1,000, which like, you know, I saw that coming, whatever, but it's just crazy that they're going to raise my rent $1,000. I actually don't know about my building's situation with it, but whatever. I don't care to drag them. They raise my rent $1,000, but it's like, this is happening everywhere. And they're saying that the reason these workers might potentially strike is because they can't agree to a contract, because now these landlords don't want to. They want to cut their, like, I think they want to cut wages. They want to cut paid leave and vacation time. And these workers have just historically not had to contribute to their insurance premiums. It's just part of how their pay is structured. People that own the apartments and the buildings pay for it. That's, you know, it's fucked up. Healthcare is even attached to work anyway, but it is. So it's just, I have absolutely no, I mean, I, you know, not that much of a capitalist anyway, but this is really, I'm like, I really know they're not raising my rent $1,000 to not pay for healthcare.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? They're raising rents all over the city, and then they want the workers, they want to pay them less, cap their minimums, and then want them to pay into their health insurance, which they've never had, while making record amount of profits.
That basically means cutting their pay, like if you're going to suddenly start making them pay more. Yeah, but like these buildings, they're all across the country, you know, just high rises that are full service. And like also New Yorkers are such babies. Like if these people strike tomorrow, which I absolutely support that they should do what you got to do, people are going to melt down.
Well, that's
which
what
is
I
good
was,
because yeah. Hopefully that'll motivate the buildings. But I just hope that if this goes down, that the tenants blame the management companies for being unreasonable and not the workers for having to strike.
Well, yeah, because I mean, in my building, these guys manage packages, they do security, the porters obviously take out all the trash and all of that.
The trash is going to be bad.
The trash is going to be bad. I'm constantly bitching at people because these people, like people in my building don't even know that chicken wings don't belong in the recycle bin. So you're going to tell me now we're going to be in charge of our own.
Oh no.
Yeah, we're going to be in charge of our own trash for a week. In a week, it'll be crazy. So
less than totally. And I'm still trying to figure out like what constitutes crossing the picket line, because like letting things build up puts pressure on the buildings to come to an agreement. I was talking to some people who said that they do come to an agreement, but we're cutting it pretty close. And I think that some people haven't heard from their buildings yet. And I think it's because those buildings don't really want to like reveal what's going on and are hoping for a last minute solution. But if this doesn't get resolved, your New York City friends are going to be on one tomorrow, which is also 420, which is a notoriously important day for delivery.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was they sent out the people in my building sent out a like notice.
Really?
They sent out a letter like a month ago, over a month ago, being like, hey, just so you know, we're negotiating our contract with the building. And if this doesn't happen by this date, none of us are going to be working here. Like they sent that a month and a half ago.
Wow.
So I'm just like, well, we've started a tenants union. So it's like, we're like, how can we support anyway? That is very insider baseball, but it's like whatever.
New York state of mind.
I know. Jeez.
It's a rough one. Anyway, so let's broaden out to the nation, shall we? State yes. of the nation. We're going to start with a Trump-appointed judge forcing the end of the federal mask mandate. U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell said that the mandate yesterday was unlawful because it exceeded the authority of the CDC. The Biden administration is currently deciding whether to appeal that and whether they want to ask a court to block the decision in the meantime. They've sort of been a little bit unclear. It had originally only been extended through May 3rd anyway, and we weren't sure what they planned to do after that. The Surgeon General was saying, like, we view travel as non-optional for a lot of people, so we just think it makes most sense to have people continue to wear masks. There are immunocompromised people and children who are still not vaccinated, and the cases are rising. That being said, the grounds on which this judge made this call seem tenuous. It seems like if the Biden administration wanted to choose this battle, it might be set up for success. But I feel like they're kind of in a rough spot because the Biden administration is not, I mean, Biden's polling is trash right now. And I don't think that they want to seem like they're forcing masks back on our faces, even though this is like actually about the CDC's authority. Because in a 59-page opinion, the judge, she was very focused, again, Trump-appointed MAGA mistress, she was very focused on the definitions of clean and sanitation and seemed to say that because masks themselves do not eliminate virus from respiratory droplets, they don't meet the standards required for the government to mandate this. Armchair scientist, I guess. She also compared having people forcibly removed, this is her quote, forcibly removed from their airplane seats, denied board at the bus stops, and turned away at the train station doors to being a form of detention and quarantine.
Terrible.
So she was really terrible. So she was really on one. Like I said, now it just seems to be a matter of if the Biden administration wants to choose this battle and die on this hill. I mean, maybe that's a bad turn of speech to use there. I mean, in this moment, if they want to push for the CDC's authority or if they just want to like let this one go because this was probably going to happen anyway. I mean, no, I just thought it was so crazy and fucked up that pilots announced that this happened mid-flight.
It's so crazy. And especially like just people who don't want to wear their mask, like aren't vaccinated. You know, about this. It's like, and if they're not wanting to wear a mask like in an airplane, they're not actively testing themselves and keeping themselves safe. I don't know. So it's really disappointing. It's really tough because, yeah, it's like the Biden administration has to like choose their battles wisely. But I don't know. Like there's some things where I'm like, oh, they definitely should be. Mm-hmm. You know, caught trying or whatever. Yeah. But I don't have the answer to this because at a certain point, it's like we do have to transition or whatever. But it just also goes back to people get disappointed with the Biden administration or say he's not working fast enough or whatever. But like this is another symptom of Trump's presidency. Mm-hmm. It's like these presidencies last so long and they appoint people, you know what I mean? Like the effects. So it's like,
yeah, they leave breadcrumbs.
They leave breadcrumbs and it fucks everything up for so long. I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like with this, the people that want to rip their mask off, like some of these anti-maskers, like it's become, we've talked about this, but now I'm thinking of it more. Like I am a little bit less worried than the spread of disease than I am about just the chaos this could cause just because anti-maskers have made an identity out of not wearing masks.
Yeah.
Like for instance, like on Friday, I'm flying to North Carolina for my grandpa's 90th birthday. And now I'm going to have to double mask, and that's fine, whatever. But I just know, I'm just like, if somebody fucking says something to me, like, you know, we don't have to do this anymore, right? Like, I'm going to lose it, Millie. I will lose it. They will drag me off that plane.
I'm flying on Sunday to fucking Florida on Delta.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they all, basically every single one. And you know, I was talking to Sammy, bless her heart. She was like, I hope this will be a moment where people realize the impact of judicial decisions. And I was like, I don't know. I think these people just think the pandemic ended midair. Like, I don't think people realize, like, I think some of the people that were applauding with relief, I don't think they meant, I don't think they were all like anti-masker people who were like, I don't think they realized they were clapping for this, like, Trump judge's opinion. I think that they thought they were, it was a celebratory moment that we all collectively decided, which, you know, I didn't really look very closely, nor am I an expert enough to analyze the data. I know there are places that there are other countries that no longer require this, but they also are better vaccinated. And it's like every podcast, I just realize how aberrant our country is to other ones. And it's like the divisiveness and acrimony and the fact that we've made political fights over vaccines. And like, people are just going to refuse to mask because they refuse. Like, it's just, you're right. The reason that we're scared to be on planes is because these people aren't vaccinated.
Amanda, I tell you, literally every time I've traveled to Colombia, I've traveled to Mexico, every time,
scam.
Every time I'm so shocked to be somewhere where the masks haven't been politicized. I'm literally, you know, in the fucking mountains of this like rural part of Colombia, and someone's on a donkey with the mask on. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only here that we've politicized them so much and people have made identities. And it's just like, we have serious issues in this country. We have serious problems. There is oppression going on, but it has nothing to do with masks. But people really have made an identity. You're right. And put this fight up, and I blame the right. You know, and it just fucking sucks because like they're not the people that have like made these incendiary comments and all this stuff. Like, they're not seeing the effects of mismanagement, and really it's not like things are much safer than they, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. cases are up, deaths are down, hospitalizations are down, but it's not like people aren't dying from this every day, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this sort of was gonna be a really charged day whenever it came, despite what the numbers say. And that's just what, like, that's what really sort of pinches in watching the response, is like, wow, this has really changed our society in a very sinister way. Let's spend some time discussing Taylor Lorenz's article for the Washington Post, drawing attention to the Twitter account Libs of TikTok. This is crazy. Did you see the response this morning? That like now all the far right people are standing up for this account, and like Don Jr. is like tweeting pictures of like Taylor Lorenz. It's crazy.
I think the way that I found out about this article was this person's like, oh, now they're now they're like hunting me down and blah blah blah, and it's just like, this is basic due diligence of like when you actually write an article, you have anyway. Why don't you tell that people what happened first before I give you my opinions on it.
So Taylor Lorenz, who is like, you know, star tech culture reporter, has bounced. I think she just left from The New York Times to The Washington Post. So she wrote this article for The Washington Post about libs of TikTok. So this is an anonymous Twitter account, or wanted to be anonymous, with almost 700,000 followers as of this morning. What it does basically is that it surfaces out of context TikTok videos on LGBTQ issues, usually with LGBTQ people, and frames them in a really sinister way and connects them to these themes of like pedophilia and grooming that we've been hearing about. I'm sure a lot of you have wondered that I have, like, where did this come from? And it seems like if it did not originate with libs of TikTok, they are really, they're serving as a content pipeline for far-right news figures on Fox News and Newsmax. Taylor Lorenz writes, quote, the account has emerged as a powerful force on the internet, shaping right-wing media, impacting anti-LGBTQ plus legislation, and influencing millions by posting viral videos aimed at eliciting, inciting outrage among the right. So one expert, she quotes, refers to this account as a wire service for these extreme outlets, which is very scary. That's like when everybody just publishes the same AP thing with, you know, and everyone's just taking it and publishing it. The account is anonymous, but the woman who said she runs it previously had appeared faceless on Tucker Carlson. But the person behind the account is apparently a real estate agent in Brooklyn named Kaya Rychik, who has posted anti-science, far-right talking points on COVID since 2020. She has had like a couple accounts that seem like plays on her own name, just like spewing QAnon stuff. She also appeared to live tweet the insurrection from one of those. She's been, you know, evolving her brand. She changed her content strategy at one point, pretending to tweet as a houseplant from Joe Biden's office, which is kind of a funny premise, but it sounds like it flopped.
Yeah, it did flop because it's not saying anything real. Like, if I'm like, why not a houseplant from Harvey Weinstein's?
Right. Well, you're just parroting. It's like, oh, Sleepy Joe. It's like, you don't got to be a houseplant to say that.
I know. Just say it. And it's also, it's a flop. Right. It's a fucking flop.
So she returned to the far right rage machine and she started Libs of TikTok. Again, it's called Libs of TikTok, but it's a Twitter account because, you know, these guys, these old farts are not on TikTok. This got its big break when none other than Joe Rogan started hyping it up on his podcast. Again, she has been anonymous, but reporters were able to figure out who she was pretty plainly through information she shared when registering the Libs of TikTok domain. Now, since this article was published, she has really positioned herself as a victim of doxing, and they've really tried to turn that around on the author, who has been harassed quite a bit, doxed. And now this morning you have like Don Jr. tweeting Taylor Lorenz's picture and like calling her a hypocrite, really just feeding into the storylines they love to tell themselves. But this is pretty scary because she and Libs of TikTok are basically in lockstep with state lawmakers passing anti-LGBTQ laws. It's almost as if she's like a communications firm. She's like consulting them via her TikTok and then also serving as their publicist by, you know, blasting out these videos that prove their point. So this was, I mean, Taylor Lorenz is fearless in approaching these topics. And it's just such a complex but terrifying way that our media functions these days. And I'm sure there are similar examples of like out of context things being shared of Republicans, but certainly not to this degree. And not calling all teachers pedophiles.
Yeah, I think the thing is that she'll take things out of context and be like, I think, which it just sucks because the internet democratizes a lot of conversations and it makes it accessible for a lot of people. And that has good effects and bad effects. And the good effects is like we can talk with more nuance about different issues. But then the bad effects is like that oppressive, terrible people get to co-opt language that is used to provide nuance to, you know, rape culture and to different things. Like, they've now co-opted groomers. And instead of it being someone in your in your community that has, like, you know, groomed you and like made you comfortable with their inappropriate advances and stuff, it's a queer sex ed teacher talking about sex, you know, in a class that's about sex ed, you know. It's like, oh, they're grooming kids. And it's like, that's not even what this is. They're just teaching kids how to put condoms on, which we should be so fucking lucky. The Republicans are trying to ban abortion.
Yeah, you're trying to outlaw abortion for your teen daughter.
So yeah, so then now somebody talking about how to put a condom on is grooming? Like, shut up. And another thing too is just, you know, this person, you know, Shia, I'm going to keep saying her name, is like, she wants to, you know, dox people. She's putting these people out of context into the spotlight, making them talking points.
Yeah, these are videos of people at their jobs, doing their jobs.
Or just like talking, doing explainers on TikTok, whatever, to their little small audience.
Right,
they're
right.
Scouring the internet and publishing them. And now they're on Fox News where all these crazy bigots can see it. And it's just like, but then they want to like operate with some anonymity. They don't want anyone to know who they are. They don't want anyone, again, like the reason why I like first saw it was like this person was like, oh, now they're trying to hunt me down when like WAPO was trying to do a fact check on like, hey, just to confirm, these accounts belong to you, right? And they're like, oh, this witch hunt. And it's like, no, that's what's called fact checking. And you put yourself in this position where you've like have done it to so many other people. And now that people are looking into you.
Had they not done that, they would have said, oh, you didn't fact check this or even ask for my comment. It's like you said, this is just how investigative journalism works. And her name was attached to the IP address that anybody could find. and the vitriol that the people that are trying to defend her have like aimed towards other women in the past, that they just like don't have any like to stand on. But it's just like, it's like Russian dolls of like toxic fake information, because Fox News already doesn't care about lying or facts. And now they are sourcing their content from a Twitter account that is intentionally misframing the facts. And she's getting that content from TikTok, which is very hard to contextualize and has very little moderation. And the amount of people that watch Fox News, sometimes people, whenever I post Tucker Carlson saying something dangerous on SUP, we always get a couple comments. Like, why are you giving this more oxygen? People wouldn't know about this otherwise. And it's like, y'all, people know. Like, we need to know what people are being fed so that we can just try to correct it. Like, I am not nobody is going to find this that appreciates it, because we are not part of the problem. We need to know what we're dealing with. And this is what we're dealing with, is them like cherry picking out of context TikToks and then showing it to millions and millions of people every night. Like, there's no journalism in this whatsoever.
I mean, that's why they're so shocked by having a fact checker, because if they, every time they, let's say they want to go on Libs of TikTok and use that as a source, if they went to then reached out to the person being highlighted in the thing and asked them like to provide context or whatever, like, it wouldn't be as incendiary. It wouldn't be as angering, because then they would be provided nuance and stuff where, like, but that's too hard, right? It's easier to get people riled up and to get this whatever and to activate, you know, they're activating this. It's really sad. It's really scary.
Since February, this account has sort of grown and been able to get sympathy by saying they're going to ban me any day now. And it's like, homegirl, you're right there. You're fine. You have 700,000 followers. Like, this, you're part of the problem. So certainly not the time for Elon Musk to take over Twitter and regulate it even less.
It's also like, go on Gab or something. Like, you don't have to be on these platforms. But if you have to be on these, if you want to be on these platforms, you have to have some respect, and you can't be fucking hateful for, you know what I mean, to communities for no reason. So I think like the Elon Musk thing really angers me, because he stood up against, like, you know, this is very inside baseball with comedy, but there's this one satirical publication called Babylon Bee. Yeah, they always have the same, their jokes, like, it's like The Onion, but bad.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like, you know, at first it started off as like a satire of different like Christian culture, like when your pastor says this or youth pastor stuff, and it was actually really funny and specific. And then they got this new editor in chief, and then it's just like, now it's just fucking like the same joke. It's the same, like, woman identifies as a toaster or something, like, every, but like they have that same joke over and over again, to the point where like there's all these collages about it. Elon Musk thinks they're so funny. He thinks it's like the funniest thing. And what they did was, there was some activist who won like the Nobel Peace Prize or something like that, and who's trans, and they're like, blah, 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 becomes the first man to win the Nobel Peace or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Twitter flagged that comment and was like, hey, your account's suspended. We warned you a bunch of times for this transphobic stuff. Your account's suspended until you delete this tweet. And then what they did, they doubled down. They're like, we're not deleting this tweet. We stand for, like, this is a freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. Elon Musk took that and was like, this is ridiculous. You're censoring. And it's just like, you can have the account back if you delete this tweet. They're like, no. And now they're like, they died on that hill. And that's what got Elon Musk to invest in Twitter, was like, that all happened around the same time as when he announced that. And it's just like, he just wants freedom to say transphobic things, like,
I guess. And like, not for nothing, but I said this yesterday, I don't know if this is reaching too much, but Elon Musk also got mad at one of the people rescuing the Thai kids stuck in the cave. Do you remember this? Because the guy was like, Elon Musk sent some fucking submarine, and it just was not gonna, it was like too big or something. And the diver was just like, it's a PR stunt. Like, we can't really use this.
Yeah.
And then Elon Musk referred to him as a pedo guy. And it's like, why are these people just reaching for, I don't know, if the urge to refer to people as pedophiles who try to help children on a massive platform is just such a bizarre instinct? Like, how did we get here in the culture where it's like we say, it's like they are running out. They are running out of things. So now they have to invent these fake narratives.
And, you know, one, if you see like a 5-minute YouTube thing about the Thai rescue thing, it's like basically it was a very narrow thing that like they had to pull one kid at a time. Like it was
had to drug the kids. It was so terrifying.
Yeah, it was like a very difficult thing. Like if he did his research at all, he would know that. And then another thing is like, listen, pedophilia is bad. Like all these things are bad. These are actual issues, like rape and molestation is like an actual thing. And it's like, but it usually comes from people in your community. It usually comes from trusted adults. Like it's disrespectful to so many victims and so many people when we just like are throwing out, oh, he's a pedophile. Oh, this, oh, that. Like, and we're not actually critiquing this culture. That's the thing of like, everyone likes to pretend that there's some big boogeyman that's like, oh, someone's like Wayfair cabinets and all this like big conspiracy and all this shit. And like, oh, this guy's a pedo. And like, watch your children learning about condoms. And it's like, if we really want to have these conversations, the conversations need to start with like, how are we trusting? Like, are we forcing our young girls to give people hugs? Like let's talk about that, you know? Like, let's actually talk. But no, it's always like these dumb like boogeyman kind of shit, and it's disrespectful to victims, and it's not actually a thing. And again, it's they're just making up shit to be mad about. And
yeah, and with how many, with I mean, it's so tragic how many women, how many people are victims of incest and victims of have been victimized by a pedophile, that I'm shocked that this has been tolerated so much at this point. But it just, I guess, tells you how toxic their discourse is at this point.
Yeah, because exactly, like, let's have the conversation if we're gonna have the conversation, but we're not. So, you know, then it's like, then why are we doing this? You know,
yeah,
it's just to be incendiary. These guys don't care about rape culture or about, you know, this and that. Like, you don't think it starts with telling girls to stop wearing tank tops at school?
You know how much of this happens at church and like youth groups? And obviously we don't need to get started on the Catholic Church. Like, it's look within, gentlemen, look within.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the thing that bothers me about these guys, is like, they don't care about any of this shit. They just want to be incendiary for no reason. They're not looking to change anything about how culture exists, you know? And the right just uses that shit to activate.
Yeah, this account is in direct communication with Ron DeSantis's like press secretary. They're like besties. And like, we'll talk about this later this week, but Ron DeSantis is literally trying to be like a fascist in Florida and eliminate like majority black districts. It's crazy. Like, when we talk about this, I'm always like, how do people tolerate this? And it's because the electoral structure is so fucked up that like, they don't have to win that much. They really don't have to win that much. They just have to scare enough people.
They have to scare enough people, disenfranchise enough people, and like, you know, keep people of color in such fucked up positions. There's like no, like barely any social mobility in Florida. Like there's, you know, it's so difficult to get out of poverty. Like they keep enough people like that. They're, you know, they're not gonna like, it's like solving two things. Like they're gonna keep winning, and then people are gonna keep thinking that voting doesn't matter.
That's what they want. They want people to feel that voting doesn't matter.
And like, they're throwing out entire like polling locations shit. Like,
nowhere to vote.
Crazy.
Nowhere to get an abortion. Anyway, the full article, check it out. Washington Post. I think it's called Libs of TikTok, but just Google Libs of TikTok. There's been enough aggregations that you will get the gist. It is mind blowing. That is our show today. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Sup Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.